Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 13. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And here we are. It's April 1st, and today we're going to be talking about Gus Van Sant. We're going to be doing news trailers as usual, and we'll be reviewing Time Crimes.
A film not by Gus Van Sant.
It was Douglas's suggestion. He was shouting at me last week before the show that he wanted to pick a movie for once. And I was like, sure. And then Sunday he emails out, Time Crimes.
This is true, because think about it, Damian. Right? How many episodes have we had so far?
I'm not sure.
That's actually why I had to ask you. I had to ask you that question. But I believe, did Andrew just say 13 a while ago?
According to Andrew, sure.
Okay, so let's say it's 13 episodes we've had. How many times has the movie that we chose to review been chosen by not him?
All but once, when you guys berated my favorite movie.
That's what I'm saying. Every time he chooses a thing, and you chose once, so now I must have to get to choose once as well.
Yeah, but you could have picked a better movie.
We'll leave that for later.
But
when
speaking of, you know, choosing better movies and whose movie was crap, what the fuck?
No, I heard your guys' podcast.
That was horrendously awful.
I was laughing, you know, a whole lot at work. It was really funny to hear you guys, especially it's kind of amazing. Never mind that you guys missed the point, but I'm not even going to try.
No, it has nothing about missing the point. I saw the point. I know exactly why
you liked it, but
it was still shit.
No.
Alright, why did you like it? Tell us.
No, never.
Let's just delay the podcast for a moment and let's give you the chance since
another time when we have more time.
No.
We don't have the time, honestly.
Just give me the ballpark region.
Like, there's no quick way to explain why you guys have no idea.
Don't explain why we don't have any idea. Explain to us why you like it.
I don't have the time. Because I know why you guys hate it, so that I have to put that.
Alright, why do we hate it?
You guys said it on the podcast.
Okay.
You guys were like, oh, it was straightforward and derivative and the acting was poor and I didn't see
any magic shoes.
Yeah, the magic shoes. Like, you guys got really hung up on the magic shoes.
No, I just got hung up on it because it's what I could make fun of. Right. Immediately. But the movie itself just wasn't good. But why do you think it was good?
No, never mind. We can do this another time.
Basically what it is that he has no defense and therefore must defend by pretending that there is a defense to defend.
No, anyway, he already had his defense on that episode. Didn't you hear it?
That's so true.
Right.
You called in, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, this is quite hilarious, but we're moving on.
Alright, Gus Van Sant, like, I've been a mini fan of Gus Van Sant.
Oh, are we talking about Gus first?
Yeah, we're moving into the open discussion, you know? That's how we always do it.
Oh. Okay.
Isn't that, like, whatever. 12 episodes in?
Sure, well, remember, Andrew, always or two times, depends on how you look at it. So we're talking about Gus first. You were saying something.
He's done many films. I mean, he did a lot more than I knew about, right? Because when I first thought about picking Gus Van Sant as the filmmaker for the poll, I was like, yeah, the dude who did Good Will Hunting and Milk. Even though I didn't really like Paranoid Park that much, Milk and Good Will Hunting, awesome. But when I look down, I'm like, holy shit, I didn't know about these movies. Like, I didn't know he was the one who did Psycho.
Yes, I didn't know that either, but, you know, I have watched that movie, and I remember not particularly thinking it was the greatest thing.
Which I've seen on TV on and off, I watched it for the first time fully over the weekend. It was a great film, but I would never have pegged him for that movie if I had seen it not knowing it was Gus Van Sant, right? But, like, what do you guys think about Gus Van Sant and his films?
Damien, you want to go first?
No.
Right, well, okay. What I think about Gus Van Sant, let's put it this way. Over the past, say, 2 or 3 days, I have watched maybe five and a piece of his movies, and I've enjoyed every one. Over the past couple of days, I've watched Elephant. I saw To Die For again. I saw the first, say, 15 minutes to a half an hour of Mala Noche, which was one of his earlier movies. I saw Drugstore Cowboy, which was great. And I saw what I think could be my favorite of the lot that I saw recently was My Own Perfect Idaho. That was the movie with Keanu Reeves, River Phoenix, and nobody else that I really know.
And Gus Van Sant.
Gus Van Sant, there we go.
I still haven't gotten around to watching that one.
Okay, that one, I thought it was fantastic. It was, as with Gus Van Sant, which I didn't realize. If you don't watch his non-famous movies, you don't realize who Gus Van Sant is. That's very strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because his movies, most of his movies are very odd, is just the way to put it. He loves that very technical, very still, very angular shot that he has. You saw it a lot in Elephant.
Yeah.
You know, when he was following the students. You also, what he likes to do, he likes very picturesque shots. So if you watch my favorite, My Own Personal Idaho, you'll see that in a very, you know, wonderful scene between Keanu Reeves and his Italian lover. It's funny, he actually makes them pose in their sex scene, and it's clear that it's not screenshots, it's not pictures, it's them posing and being like, okay, can I move now? I really want to move. I'm shaking. I can't handle this pose anymore. So he does that in that movie. He also does the same thing in Mala Noche. There's a scene when the lead, or who I must assume is the lead, I haven't clearly watched the whole movie yet, lets a young Spanish boy drive his car, and he's frightened out of his mind because the guy's going at like a million miles an hour. And you just see like facial expressions and interactions, and it's, again, it's almost like a bunch of pictures that he's taken, but it's clearly not pictures. And so he likes the picturesque shots. He likes those, you know, very almost motionless, but with motion sometimes, those type of shots, like Elephant. And also what I noticed is I love the stories. I shouldn't say stories, but I love the type of movies that he takes on a lot. For example, Elephant. Now, Damien, me and you, we've made fun of WALL-E for a long time. One of our, not major, but one of our problems with it is that the script just isn't there. It doesn't have a script. It's WALL-E, Eva, that's it. That's essentially what Elephant was. But at the same time, I thought Elephant was great. Elephant it was not driven by the dialogue at all. I guess it was in a sense, but it wasn't as if the dialogue formed part of the story, and you know, you had to, there were conversations and each conversation formed a whole and thing. It was just a bunch of almost like random shots of random people who were interconnected by this one event that occurred, which was, and I hope I'm not spoiling anything because I knew this even from the get-go. I believe this was in the trailer or the promo stuff for it, but there's a shooting at the school, and that's the thing that connects everybody. And so essentially we're just following bits and pieces of this scenario, and then it kind of comes together. And so you'll hear, you know, random conversation about how this teacher's a dick, and you know, that movie's really cool, and oh, you can play piano really well, that kind of thing. But it was never ever a bunch of conversations that added up sequentially and formed part of the story in the classical sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a Tarantino type film.
Yeah, I mean, I actually just finished watching Elephant today, and you told me how, since I hate Jerry, I'm going to hate Elephant.
Oh, I forgot about Jerry. I love that movie.
Jerry is the most annoying, boring piece of shit ever. Right? You know, like, no, the only thing I learned from it, I've told you already, is I now know the pace at which Matt Damon walks across the desert.
Andrew, you just Jerry'd your whole watching experience of that movie. That's what it was.
But when it comes to Elephant, like, unlike you, I didn't know what this movie was about. I mean, I kind of got a sense as I was going through as to what it was doing, and it was just mind-blowing. And what I spent a lot of time trying to figure out, because you see a lot of the same thing happening all over again from a different perspective. Like, for example, there's the moment when Elias and John meet up in the hallway and they're talking to each other about what's going on, and you get to see it from Elias walking out of where he's coming from, John walking from where he's and you also see it from the girl whose name I really can't remember at this point.
The one that ran past them?
Yeah.
Okay,
And what I tried to...
Did they give her a name?
They give everyone a name. Whether they actually say it out loud is another thing.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, the PE teacher probably gave her a name, but yeah. Sure.
I was trying to figure out whether it's that he filmed it three times or he filmed it all once.
I think he may have had to film it three times because I remember thinking that exact thought and saying to myself, but from the other angle, I don't think there's a way
for the camera to hide. Yeah, that's what I started to think about.
So I don't think... If he did it all at one shot, awesome, kudos to him. But I think he did it in like three or four.
Oh, okay. And I think that was just an amazing tool to help show you what this school is like and what is about to happen to it.
Yeah. Right? And I have to say, I thought it was going to be a classical type of movie. So I knew the story, but didn't know what the hell was going to happen, how he was going to present it. I thought it was going to be a regular movie. But then all of a sudden, I've got this, you know, barely any conversation that will, you know, push me forward in the classical sense of a movie type thing. And then, you know, it's so very odd. But I love that. And no, thank you for reminding me of Jerry. I thought Jerry was fantastic. Again, another type of film where it's, you know,
boring.
There's not a lot of conversation. There's not a lot of script, which is why Andrew doesn't like it. Andrew thinks it's just boring. But I thought it was fantastic just to see the relationship between the two and how things transpire between them because of this predicament that they're in. And the predicament is that they went on this path, you know, that all these tourists go on, and then they decide, you know what? I don't like this path. This path is too long for me. I'm going to take a piss here, and then we're going to walk in that direction, and we're going to get there faster. We're going to get to the end faster. And they jerry the path. So they end up in the middle of nowhere with no clue where they are, no clue how they got there or how to get back. And so they're lost in the desert for a few days, and it kind of goes from there. And I just love it. I mean, like Andrew said, there was this one scene where all they do is they just walk, and you hear them clomp. You hear a very loud clomping noise whenever the feet go down, and they go in and out of phase. And I don't know why, but I enjoyed that scene a lot. I enjoyed everything.
If they were to have edited that film to dialogue only, it would have lasted 5 minutes.
No, that's that joke too easy. Movie.
Yeah. Also, need we remind you about Wall-E and your thoughts on that movie?
No. Alright. So now that we've gotten Douglas's view, I'm going to brandish this conversation with my ignorance. I must admit I'm seeing about 28 movies there, give or take. Some of them is nonsense. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, greatest videos. Videos. So and there's a David Bowie thing in there, I think, as well.
Alright, but I think I've seen probably seven other movies that he's made. And I only like two.
Which ones were those?
And they're Psycho and...
You like Psycho?
And, of course, Good Will Hunting. Everybody, I mean, that's a given.
But what else have you seen? And why did you not
well,
like
we know
him?
We saw Milk.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah.
And
yeah,
I also saw Jerry.
Oh, thank Christ. Somebody agrees with you, right?
I don't think I agree with him to the extent that, you know, but I've seen Paranoid Park.
I
saw Elephant. And what else is there that I've seen?
Right, did you see Finding Forrester?
No.
That movie was kind of crap, actually.
Busta Rhymes.
I kind of assumed that.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen a lot of his movies. What I can say about him that is positive...
Oh, he did Paris, Je t'aime.
He did one of the bits of that film.
Right. he's clearly very... He's probably one of the best that we have. I mean, his ability to frame things, as you said, and just capture certain scenes in kind of a different way, in a way that you haven't really seen it. Even in Milk, a movie that I really dislike because it's boring as all hell. It was still, like, just watching the movie, I wasn't at any point, I was always, fascinated how, he came up with some of his shots. The problem that I have with Van Sant is I think he's a bit overrated because his movies are really boring. There's no getting around it. The subject matter that interests him interests very few people, which is why most of his movies aren't blockbusters. He doesn't really go after that crowd. And so I think his movies, there'll be people who love him. Critics especially will love Van Sant. But regular
Listen, you're a critic.
No, I'm regular people.
You are currently critiquing.
Regular people, his subject matter, Jerry, these two dudes lost in the desert, and they, so for 1.5 hours, basically they were walking around, and they had probably one real conversation that normal people would have had they been lost in the desert. Right? If me and Andrew was lost in the desert, we wouldn't be talking about half the shit that he's talking about. There'd be slightly more pressing issues.
Like, where's the water?
Yeah, and the people. Right? Paranoid Park, I tried. I tried to like that movie. People said that they liked it. I went out of my way to watch it twice.
Film spotting.
Yeah, there's nothing to like. Speaking of Film Spotting, I hope you know that one of the guys on Film Spotting had quid pro quo in their top 10 movies of the year. But for the first half of the year.
Listen, I've already told you they were wrong. They
were like Paranoid Park.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, you people are willing to accept that, Paranoid Park, there's people who can like that. But quid pro quo is complete nonsense and no one likes it.
That's what he said.
It's on the podcast. I can't bring it here.
Remember, when I say
to get away from that conversation. Okay. Because it's going to take over. I don't like Van Sant's. If he makes a Goodwin Hunting 2 and
basically what you're saying,
Psycho 2.
What you're saying is that you want him to make a film.
Things more related.
With a regular plot idea.
Yeah. Exactly, with things a regular plot and a regular ABC.
It's not just ABC. It's just things that are relatable to regular people.
You know what, though? He has done things that are relatable.
And not boring.
But you know what? You just haven't watched them. For example, there's To Die For.
Right, which is why I started this out with saying I'm going to brandish my ignorance.
Yeah, so what you do is you go home, you watch To Die For.
Right.
You watch Drugstore Cowboy. I think you might like that one.
Okay.
I want to watch Idaho really bad.
Idaho is awesome, man. But I don't know if you'd like that, honestly. Chill out with us.
Because if you... You loved Elephant, and honestly...
I didn't love Elephant. I thought it was great, but at the same time, I don't know if I'd ever watch it again.
Oh, alright.
I'm totally going to watch that movie again.
All right. So, I'd file it almost in the same drawer, except I didn't love it.
That's
a one-time-only movie.
Yeah. Alright, you've already mentioned this, Damien. I think Douglas did as well, even though you said Idaho was your favorite, Douglas.
Well, out of the ones that I saw recently, Idaho was my favorite.
Overall,
I'm not sure. I totally forgot about Jerry, which is up there. Goodwill Hunting, which is, top notch. It got an Oscar for Ben Affleck, and that's saying something.
Yeah, that's
We had this conversation
on many occasions, I know. I was watching Malanocha earlier. It looks like it has potential. Out of the ones that I've watched, I think by a very close margin, Idaho might be my favorite.
I think you said Good Will Hunting was your favorite. What's your least favorite? Like, if you had to pick one to be the crap of the crew.
No, I mean, they're not crappy movies. I just find them incredibly boring. And I'd probably go with Paranoid Park as the least favorite of all. Well, the seven. I shouldn't say all. Of the seven that I've seen.
What about you, Andrew?
Well, I was about to ask what was your least favorite.
All right, mine, I can tell you right now, I've seen a piece of Paranoid Park and I didn't think it was that bad. I remember I was watching it with you.
Yeah.
And I was watching it and I'm like, this is kind of good. What are you talking about? And you're like, no, it's awful.
Yeah, it kind of falls up.
First of all, I didn't say it was completely awful, right? It just bored me.
Right, it's not a bad movie.
I thought it was a good story, but the way in which Van Sant decided to tell the story kind of bored me.
Okay, well, anyway, to get back to your question, what I think would be my worst, more my least favorite for Gus Van Sant is probably Finding Forrester. It's completely regular. It's got, you know, act one, act two, act three, which is fine, but at the same time, there's nothing special about it. It is a movie about a young, I think he's in prep school. And by prep school, I don't mean what we call prep school. I mean what a lot of people in the States and Europe and those guys call prep school, which is almost like high school right before college.
Preparing
you for college. And he finds this guy named Forrester. I can't remember his first name, but he's this big writer that went into seclusion and nobody knows where the hell he is. And his name is Sean Connery. Right, and he Busta Rhymes is this guy's brother, which is one strike already. And he writes stories based on Forrester's things, and then he gets into a little bit of trouble, and Forrester has to help him out. But it's
Now I've seen that movie.
Oh, you see the movie?
Yeah, I have seen that.
So you know what I'm talking about,
right? But. No, that wouldn't be my least. I kind of sort of like that movie.
No,
it's not bad.
And that's the thing: the movie isn't horrendously bad, but at the same time, it never piqued my interest. I watched it and I was like, "Oh, this is an HBO movie that I'll probably not watch too many times more again because it's not that interesting."
My problem with that movie was the guy just had to be good at basketball. Like, apart from being...
Who, Busta Rhymes?
No,
the student.
The student.
Oh, okay.
Apart from, being, exceptional at his studies or whatever.
Yeah.
He just, like, they had to make him, they had to make him, like, as close to perfect as possible.
But Damien, didn't you know white men can't jump? And he's black.
And I'm just looking to show you, the guy is Rob Brown and he ends up being the guy in the new... film The Express about the black football player, American football player.
And I mean,
well, he was in Stop Loss, so there's that.
Wow, thanks. you're an asshole. So Andrew, you told us your least favorite.
Did you tell us your least favorite? What was that?
Jerry,
you douchebag.
Yeah, you kind of see he hates
Jerry.
I didn't hear that the first time he said it.
Like, you could trick me into watching any one of these Van Sant movies I've seen already again. Even the ones that I claim that, I'm kind of like, it bored me, but I'd watch it again. It's including Paranoid Park. But Jerry, you'd have to put a gun to my head. I've never checked to see how long the movie has left as many times as when I was watching Jerry.
Man, and I've actually watched that movie twice in the space of like a month. I enjoy that movie.
You're a crazy person.
No, on the question as to which one of Van Sant's movies are my favorite,
if you say Milk, this podcast
I'm not
is
really
over.
Sure, right? Because first of all, I wouldn't consider any of Van Sant movies that I've seen a perfect 10. I don't think I'd even give them as much as a 9. I think his best is 8.5. Right?
Why is he skirting the question? I don't understand what the hell this has to do with his favorite.
I think
favorite.
He's skirting the question because he knows the answer is Milk.
He can't be serious. Pick something.
And I think my movie has to be a three-way tie.
Between milk.
Between elephant
milk and
milk and Gus Van Sant. And
just and Gus Van Sant. Yes.
All right, and so himself.
And Goodwill Hunting. I can watch elephant
and Goodwill Hunting is on the same level.
Yes. Really? They're two different films, but same level of enjoyment I got from watching each.
One got someone with no talent at Oscar.
Thank you for sharing my view, baby. Yes.
How did you like Gone Baby Gone?
I was about to say, Gone Baby Gone was awesome. If he can do that on a regular basis behind the camera, he must always be behind the camera.
So there's a Jamaican statement to explain Gone Baby Gone. Buck up. We're moving on.
Also, he got
paycheck. That's all I have to say. To Gone Baby
Gone. Is that
paycheck.
All you have to say?
No,
there's other things. I have Daredevil to say.
We've done the Ben Affleck hatred.
Uma Thurman was in paycheck.
Right. Let's just leave that one alone. Everyone understands our feelings on Ben Affleck.
Are you a Thurman fan, or are you saying that added to it?
I'm a Thurman fan.
Okay.
So, and that movie still had no chance.
Yeah. I don't mind Uma Thurman only because she's hot, but
she's come in a lot of shitty movies.
Exactly. She's been in a lot of bad movies. I have to say, she has also been in some good.
Yes.
But
she's been in great
bad.
As well. There are three specific films
except for Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2. What are these great movies?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh shit. Alright, but what else? What else has been great? I'll give you that Pulp Fiction was a really good movie.
No, Pulp
what
Fiction
else?
Is
yeah. What else?
I really can't think about it because I don't know that much about Uma Thurman's
exactly.
career.
Exactly.
No,
was
that's
in,
why I claimed
she
three.
Was in an awesome little Terry Gilliam movie. She was in
which Terry Gilliam was that one?
She was in that shitty movie with John Travolta and
I like that movie.
Be Cool, that movie was
I like that movie.
I'll give you the first one was pretty decent. The second
one not the first one.
I actually enjoyed the second one as well somewhat.
I watch it again, but surprise. I won't call it a good movie.
Especially with The Rock in it. I love The Rock in that movie.
The Rock was fantastic in every movie he's in. But
so we're going to see Race to Witch Mountain.
I'm just joking.
I'm going to see that. I saw that trailer. I actually tried to see today and Carib.
What's
of course, no, Carib is like, oh, we don't have it for 5:30. Like, you don't have a movie that opening today for 5:30? Yeah.
Not only do they not
it's for children.
It's for children. You know what? Children are going to go out from 8 to 11 and watch
she's
a movie.
She's like, oh, tomorrow going back at 5. I'm like, that don't help me. What's wrong with
I think I might go and watch Fast and Furious.
I was going to watch the movie that Andrew reviewed, Nick Cage travesty.
That was awful.
Because I hear that.
Wait,
the
which
story,
one was the Nick Cage travesty?
Knowing.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
I hear that the story is good. He's terrible.
No, it's not. I don't know what
terrible.
Is wrong with him. Right?
No, but other people.
No,
no
I
not
know.
Andrew.
I know.
Not
that's
Andrew.
Why I went to the movie in the first place.
And
I said,
wrong.
Listen, Alex Proyas directed Dark City. I love Dark City. Therefore, it can't be all
you
that
shouldn't
bad.
Use that logic.
I know, but that logic combined with other people seem to think this is good.
Yeah.
You know?
But Nick Cage was in the movie.
Nick Cage
was
in the movie. Again, Alex Proyas, though he has directed Dark City, also directed a movie called I, Robot, which was bad. Can you tell me it was good?
No, you can't, because
it was awful.
Are you crazy?
Right?
Even though Will Smith is in it. Will Smith couldn't save that movie.
Exactly. So, I just don't understand how people seem to like this movie. This movie that was... I can't see any redeeming factors.
I guess because there's... Like, whenever
right,
I
hold
see
on,
Nick
hold
Cage...
On. Let me just make clear. You haven't seen it yet,
no.
Right? All right.
Okay. Whenever I see Nick Cage, I think Ghost Rider.
Yes, I agree with you.
So if he comes in
the
something,
last good movie I think he was in was Face Off.
Adaptation.
Adaptation was awesome. Matchstick Man.
Yeah,
is
I
not
saw
bad.
Your comment.
Yeah, that's
his best
good.
Movie by far. Because
no,
he actually
no,
had to
no,
act
no.
in that
not
movie.
Not his best.
No.
It's
no,
a,
for
it's
him,
an okay movie.
No, I'm not talking about the best movie he has been in. I'm talking about his the best role that he's played. Because he actually had to act
I
in that
to,
movie.
I have to say,
there's
all
Raising
the other
Arizona.
Movies he pretends
There's Raising
to,
Arizona.
Yeah,
I,
but
I have to say, I made a huge mistake and actually forgot about that movie when I was doing up the list.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. These things happen.
Anyway, I think we were talking about a man named Gus.
Yeah, but Andrew already said that it's a three-way tie between himself and two of them. So we've moved past this.
So yeah, as I said, it's a three-way tie between Milk,
Goodwill Hunting,
Elephant, and Goodwill Hunting. Like, I can't choose which one I like more, because it depends on the day and how. And I think today it's Elephant, because I just finished watching it for the first time.
Okay.
Right? But I've watched Goodwill Hunting like 10 times in a row.
Don't you own that? Or
yes,
no?
I do.
Okay.
And Milk, it's on my must-buy DVD list. It's coming. It's coming. It was my favorite. It was my movie to win
the
Oscars.
Yeah, it's better than Dark Knight. Yeah, just,
yes, it is.
Yeah. Fuck it, Chris.
Come on. That's enough with the Dark Knight fanboys.
I'm sure as soon as you stop hating on Ben Affleck, he'll stop loving the Dark Knight.
What's that? Sorry?
As soon as you stop hating on Ben Affleck, he'll start loving the Dark Knight.
Listen, I actually have started the process of reconciling with Ben. Ben did one good movie recently, one fantastic movie recently, and he's directing another, which I will watch and will hope to enjoy.
I don't understand how, like, you just said enough with the Dark Knight fanboyism, right? Not a Batman fan. Hated the comics because
he's right behind Superman for the joke book. Hang on for a second. What did I say? I didn't say Batman fanboyism. Mm-hmm. I said Dark Knight fanboyism.
But I'm saying there's a reason the movie made $1 trillion.
Right? The movie was
because the movie was awesome.
The movie was awesome. It was not the best movie of 2008.
Yeah, but neither was Milk. And Milk wasn't
all
a
right,
better
movie. Yeah, let's cut that conversation right there.
What's wrong with you people?
Stick a pin. Right?
Stick many pins. Stick a fucking dynamite down the anyway. Okay, so are we gonna talk about news or
no,
are...
I wanted to ask one more question.
Okay,
right?
One more question.
We can admit, as Damien has very much, that we haven't watched all of Gus's movies.
No, we have not.
No,
what is the movie that you haven't watched that you think you really want to get to immediately?
I really, really, really want to get to immediately this movie. And you know how I am. I like names of movies. And if a name of a movie is extremely strange or awesome sounding, I will have to watch that movie. So, the movies that I want to watch. I want to watch Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
I like that name.
I like that name. I want to watch
Red Hot Chili Peppers Greatest Videos.
I want to watch David Bowie.
I want to watch Ballad for Skeletons.
Of the Skeletons.
Oh, sorry. Of the Skeletons. And my number one to watch because of the name is Five Ways to Kill Yourself.
What about Four Boys and a Volvo? Don't you guys own a Volvo?
No, we sold that one.
Ah. So is the movie about you guys? I don't know.
There are only three of us.
Ah. Your father.
Oh.
Aha.
Okay.
There, we get four.
Right. But yes, those are the three movies that I definitely want to watch based on the name.
Anyone based on like what you know about it or...
I know about it. Well, I don't know much about most of these other movies.
Which is why you haven't seen them, I guess.
Yes. And you know what? I want to watch Ken Death Gets Out of Jail.
I'm sure that's a name again.
That's a name thing, but also I want to see some of his earlier stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to see honed skills. I don't want to see extremely wise and experienced Van Sant. I want to see
you want
the
to
Van
see
Sant
boom
that,
mics in the screen.
Yes, I want to see boom mics in the screen. I want to see where this guy came from. And so I want to watch some of his early stuff, which is why I borrowed Mala Noche. Right? That's why I got that one in particular. But unfortunately, I didn't get to watch all of it. I just started, you saw me earlier today. I started watching it, maybe got 15 minutes in.
Damien?
Whenever I get around to it, which is looking like about 6 weeks, I'm probably just going to start from his first and work my way up. That's what I do. That's what I'm trying to do with directors now. Just start from the beginning and work my way up. I won't be watching Milk again, but God's sakes, I'm bored.
but you'll watch Jerry again.
Yeah, I'll give it a second look.
You'll give Jerry a second look, but not Milk.
Andrew, to each his own.
Yes.
You like Wally? I know that that's wrong, but I don't keep saying it.
No, actually, no, the reason I don't need to see Milk again is because I saw it like 2 months ago. I don't need to. Like, I know what the movie's about. None of these I've seen recently. I was too busy watching other shit to even look at the list. So, I mean, it's good. People can say, you know, Van Sant don't know what the fuck he's doing. But I find a majority of what I've seen so far quite boring. So, hopefully, some of his earlier stuff changes that. Andrew, what's your most wanted?
For me, right now, I have to say my own private Idaho. Because okay. I was meaning to watch it this week and it looks so good. As you said, River Phoenix is in it, who I haven't seen in many films.
Yes, I had to actually explain to this boy who River Phoenix was.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Damon, are you saying lost. That you don't know who he is? Have you ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes.
His older brother that died a while back.
Okay.
He's, you know, fairly notable. He was, I guess, the biggest role that you probably have seen him in was that he was the young Indiana Jones in the third movie, Indiana Jones.
So 900 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
He played a child.
Yeah.
And that's going to narrow it down.
Yeah, there's not much to narrow him down with because that's mostly older films if we look back.
Well, it would have to be
older. Yeah, it would have to be.
Seeing as he kind of sort of died.
And also, I kind of want to watch four boys in a Volvo. Just like you with the name thing, that just sounds interesting for some reason.
No, actually, no.
It does. It sounds oddly interesting.
No, not really.
I want to know what it's about and all, but that's really me. And yeah, so in the end, can we say if Gus Van Sant is Bill, are we interested or just like, yeah, whatever?
You're saying if there's a new movie and Gus Van Sant is director,
yeah,
watch it. Yes.
I still think he's overrated, but yes.
Yeah, overrated, sure, when you listen to the right people, but I think he has his place. So, and I'm definitely interested no matter what he does at this point. All right, so let's move into the news of this week.
Do we have to? Can we just
end
the podcast on a high note?
Yes, no, be quiet.
He's mean today.
What are we going to talk about first? Warner Brothers? Okay, so this breaking news came out today that Warner Brothers has actually decided to acquire the Pirate Bay because, you know, essentially, they've got no other choice.
Right? No, hold on. What I'd like to start this out with, I'd like to read off this quote from the co-founder of the Pirate Bay. He says...
Who's this, Peter Sund?
No, Gottfried, I can't pronounce his name.
Oh, Gottfried Starthong, okay.
Yeah. He says, our community has played a vital role in changing the way that people consume media, creating a new hip culture. By joining forces with Warner Brothers, we can benefit from its global reach and technology leadership to deliver a more comprehensive entertainment experience for our users and to create new opportunities for our partners. This article is found on Tarrant Freak, and like, what do you guys think about this news item? Like, Warner Brothers buying out the Pirate Bay.
Well, I think that the price is a bit high. I wouldn't have paid that much, but
$13 billion.
Yeah, Pirate Bay. I mean, they are the biggest torrent tracker in the world right now, or so they say. Some people have actually said that Mininova might be a bit larger, but that put aside, I think this is a move in the right direction. Remember our conversation we had last week? Oh, wait. Nobody here can remember because the podcast has not been put up. Anyway, we had a conversation last week where I said that I believe that the way of the future is this BitTorrent thing in terms of movies and movie distribution, especially when it comes to movie theaters. I envision this wonderful age where what would happen is they wouldn't have these 5 or 6 or 10 huge things of film. What they would do is they'd have a private BitTorrent tracker for each for each distributor. So Warner Brothers has one, you know, whoever has one, right? And each movie that they send out goes on this BitTorrent tracker. You use RSA or whatever type of encryption you'd like so nobody can get in. I'm assuming that this can be done. And so this goes directly to the movie theaters, and then the movie theaters with their BitTorrent terminal just presses play, and then it plays, and then it goes through some sort of maybe digital projector onto the screen. So I think, you know, this is a very good way to go. It allows that to happen, first of all. Second of all, it allows for distribution via BitTorrent to us home users. We can now, instead of using the Pirate Bay for what clearly it was intended, piracy.
Right, I mean...
to use it as an actual, you know, outlet. I pay maybe a monthly fee, or maybe I don't pay a monthly fee. Maybe there's some sort of advertising involved, or some some sort of subsidy that I pay to my ISP or something, where I shouldn't really call it a subsidy, should I? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Some sort of thing that I pay.
Yeah, subscription.
And then I get access to this private tracker that was once the Pirate Bay tracker. And then I get whatever movie I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a good thing. What about you, Andrew? I just touched the microphone. What do you think?
Personally, as I agree with you, it's a step in the right direction. However, the only thing I'm worried about personally is what it'll do to current users of the Pirate Bay. Like, for those people out there who don't want to pay their subscription fee, you know, who want to just do what they're doing.
They'll use Mini Nova. I don't understand.
But I mean, all of Warner Brothers' things will be encrypted into the Pirate Bay, so they won't. They'll be forced into not dealing with Warner Brothers films.
By the way, sorry. Completely different thing. How do you spell Diesel, as in Vin Diesel? E I or I E?
I before E, except on.
But it's a name that's kind of odd. So I would guess I E.
I E. Okay, and it's S E L, right?
Thanks for that.
I've totally lost my train of thought. It's all your fucking fault.
You were saying that it would be...
People who
don't want to pay the subscription...
Would get screwed.
To pirate Brothers. Because I'm assuming that's what they're going to... Because Warner Bay...
That's not a bad name.
Warner Bay
no,
sounds
Pirate
atrocious.
Yeah.
But Pirate Brothers sounds awesome. So what would happen to them, what you're saying?
Like, I mean, for these people who, for years, have been enjoying the free services of the Pirate Bay, they now have to be paying the subscription to deal with it. And if they decide to go elsewhere, Mini Nova, as you guys have said, they'll be unable to acquire any film from Warner Brothers, we hope. Right?
No, that logic is completely backwards. How does one person... Alright, let me make this, you know, practical application. iTunes has you pay for music, and all of the Sony has signed up with them, Warner Brothers has signed up with them. Has that prevented anyone from downloading Sony or Warner Brothers music?
No, but you see, but the thing is that they have actually acquired the medium through which they get the music, or the whatever.
How would you prevent other people
using DRM?
Did you just alright? So people who pirate Xbox 360 games and PS2 games and the DVDs that they rip from, all of those have DRM. Every PC game in history has had DRM on it, and people still pirate it. I don't understand. It's the internet we're talking about. If there's a way, they find a way.
Well, you said there's some poor bastard.
The thing about this is, why spend $10 billion to acquire Pirate Bay when you could throw that money at Netflix? You know, people are already doing what it is that Douglas wants them to do, just on a smaller scale. Why not just acquire Netflix?
Well, Netflix doesn't have that huge base. Look how many people use Pirate Bay right now.
Yes, but they're using it for free. People already pay for Netflix.
Yes, but what you do, you convert those. If say, all right, let's...
How do you convert somebody?
How many... Do you have actual figures for Netflix and Pirate Bay?
No.
Right. How would we get that?
What figures are you looking for? Like usage?
Yeah. How many people use Pirate Bay? How many people use Netflix?
All right.
I'm pretty sure you're going to see something along the lines of this. what's going to happen is Netflix has maybe
about 20 2 million. Million.
20 million?
Yeah, about
okay, 20 million. So 20 million. Pirate Bay probably has like about
400.
400, exactly. No, let's say that you could only keep 30% or a third. No, a third of them.
How would you do that? How would you convert someone from buying
because
something,
a lot of people
getting something free?
Have you not seen all of these studies done online where they say a lot of the people that actually pirate movies and music buy them either afterwards or even are the biggest consumers of these products? What it is that they like to try before they buy, so they use it for that. Also, there are people that download things that, you know, they maybe can't afford, or say to themselves, you know, I will buy Michel Gondry, but I will not buy Kanye West, because though I like him, I can't afford to get him and Michel Gondry at the same time. And so what you do by getting this Pirate Bay thing is you have them pay a smaller fee, a small monthly fee, and then they get access to everything, so that they no longer have to say, oh, can I spend some of my money on this and some of my money on that and save the rest? They're just like, well, I have access to everything. Right.
But you're buying into my argument why they should just go ahead and get Netflix.
No, but Netflix doesn't have as large a base.
Fine.
If you can but even keep Netflix, a third of the Pirate Bay base, you'd Netflix, be tripling or whatever it is the base that Netflix has.
What Netflix has is infrastructure.
And Pirate Bay doesn't have that?
No.
Why not? Does Pirate Bay not distribute all of these things? Yes, they do.
Yes.
Do people not get them?
Yes,
yes they do.
Right.
So Pirate Bay actually has the infrastructure in place to distribute things.
It's on a peer-to-peer basis.
Yes.
They don't have
But guess what? Peer-to-peer is better because then you spend less money on your server costs. What do you think that it makes sense for Warner Brothers to actually, I mean, they're going to have to keep a central server of these things, but do you think it makes sense for them to have that server be the only source of their things? Because otherwise, that way, they're going to have to pay loads of money in terms of costs for bandwidth.
How do you peer-to-peer with DRM material? How do you send that over?
It's all ones and zeros, and when you put it together, it will become whatever file it needs to be to conform to the DRM or to whatever they have set in place.
I think you're apeshit right there. That's just me. Because once you're connecting everyone to download from everyone, then you're letting in the possibility of people.
But what I'm
pirating shit.
No, what I'm assuming is that all of these people that have all of these movies
are all the legal people.
Are all the legal people. I'm not assuming somebody has broken in. Remember this.
Oh, okay. That kind of makes some form of sense.
Yes. So Warner Brothers is going to entrust the users to send all the... Because there's no way for you to modify these files.
No. There's nowhere for you to modify these files. Not only that, but...
No, there'll always be a way to modify them.
Hold on. No, like... I think what Douglas is trying to say, that first of all, in the digital side, right, you only have to worry about with your tracker or legal people. And once we've dealt with the fact that everyone who downloads directly from Warner Brothers and the Pirate Bay are all the legal fellows, right? So no one is cracking into that tracker, right? No, the only thing you have to worry about after that is the normal piracy, the piracy that's been going on from the Dark Ages, which is people actually physically handing over copies to people, which you can never stop.
Exactly. Or, you know, people playing the DRM thing, then taking screenshots, recording it, and then putting it on and say mini
or just
and
or just removing the DRM
and, yeah, okay, and removing the DRM, but then they'd have to put it on a separate tracker, not the Pirate Bay tracker, because the Pirate Bay thing wouldn't accept it.
And because people are so loyal to Pirate Bay, they're going to go, well, we've been with Pirate Bay for a long time. Now they're asking us some money to do the same shit that we used to do. I think we'll just go over to Mininova.
Some people will do that.
Most people will do that.
But some people will not. No, and even a small percentage of the people that do not do that will be a larger amount than what Netflix already has.
I remember when iTunes came out to stomp Napster out of existence, and they said, well, you know, as long as you make it, you know, cheap and affordable. People will buy it and whatever, whatever. And for the first couple of years, they're like, yeah, you know, this iTunes thing's taking off. Till somebody at Apple, some disgruntled employee, posted some of the numbers. And, I mean, when you compare the numbers that Napster was getting a month compared to what iTunes was getting, it wasn't even a percent. It was a fraction of a percent.
True, but that's... All right,
so all I don't know where you're getting 30%
from. So basically what you're saying, Damien...
So I'm saying buying Netflix, where they already have people paying and they already have infrastructure. They already have the servers to store the shit and they're already streaming things to people and sending physical copies. Buy them. Don't... Plus, Pirate Bay has a negative connotation. Who else is going to sign on? How is Warner Brothers going to bully all of the other people
I'm sure they could do some sort of thing with... There's a Swedish political party called the Pirate Party. You have that. There's that sort of relationship. You could also... Hey, especially Disney. You could get Disney to come in on this with the Pirates of the Caribbean and have some sort of cross-pollination going on there. What's so
funny? Once you've got Hannah Montana on the track,
exactly.
Then Hannah Montana, then all of those negative connotations are gonna go away because I mean it's for the children.
Exactly.
Right.
People are batshit.
All right, it sounds like that's it. Moving on to our next news item. Apparently, Johnny Depp has been signed on to play Freddy Krueger in the new remake for Nightmare on Elm Street.
Can I say one thing about this?
What?
I think this is a perfect casting choice because have you ever watched Edward Scissorhands?
No. Oh, of course. I love that movie.
Never seen that movie.
Edward Scissorhands, he was a guy that had scissors for hands, essentially.
Yeah.
And now he's going to play Freddy Krueger where he has... I think it's only one glove. But it's lots of large
sharp
nails,
things,
right? So I think this is perfect. I mean, it's a perfect. Clearly, Scissors Hands. He has to go back to that mentality to jump off into this Freddy Krueger bit. But I think he can do it because he has done it before.
And it's a huge throwback to the original because he was in the first one.
Exactly, he was actually.
He was
in
one
the
of
first
the children.
I didn't even think of that. Yes.
At this point, could Johnny Depp scare you? Could you believe him being a scary character?
Can I tell you, when I watched Fear and Loathing...
I was about to say that!
Watching him with a dinosaur tail and a tape recorder taped to his chest, I was frightened as hell.
Terrible things have happened in this room, Andrew.
You're all crazy.
Anyway, I don't think we have much more to say about this. This is more a minor nonsense.
Yes, I have seen it. My sister actually loves that movie.
It's fantastic. I own the Criterion Edition. It's amazing.
We got that for her and Finding Neverland. I think that's the...
Oh, that movie wasn't bad either.
I still haven't seen that
But can I talk about another news item concerning Johnny Depp?
Okay, what is it?
He's being fired?
No. It's fantastic. Apparently... A remake of the 80s hit Back to the Future is being pushed forward now.
What does this have to do with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, he's going to play the scientist.
Yes, he is.
Yes!
He's playing Doc Brown. This is playing Marty McFly.
Oh, we don't care.
All right, hold on. Let me... Please. I'd like to guess Sam Levine.
No, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf! Oh.
And the reason why I had to ask him
movie's
to spell
going to
Diesel,
fucking suck.
Vin Diesel is going to play Biff. Apparently,
didn't they want this movie? Well, I mean, the first...
So you're saying this is the third time they're filming it?
Yeah. So they're going to film it again now. Spielberg is on board, I believe. He actually made the announcement. Oh.
He's running another...
And he says,
IP into the ground.
Yeah, he says that what he's going to do is most of it is going to stay the same. It's going to keep very true to the original.
Like in the 4.
There are a few bits where he's...
And then
there'll
be aliens that control time.
But since you mentioned Vin Diesel, there's a news item I read about Vin Diesel. What was it again? He's apparently going to star in a reboot for the...
Pitch Black?
No, not Pitch Black. No, that'd be too perfect. Oh. It's going to be a reboot for Collateral Damage.
Who is he playing? Is he playing the taxi driver?
He's playing Schwarzenegger.
Wait, sorry.
Collateral
Damage.
Collateral.
But right, you're
thinking of collateral damage.
It's okay, no, sorry. It's okay. Collateral damage, right.
Like taxi driver, man. Oh,
different thing. Okay.
You made that. I wouldn't have figured it out. I actually rewatched Collateral a week ago or so. And I enjoyed it, I have to say.
It's not that good. It's not an awful movie, but come on. You can do
Jamie
better.
Fox sings shitty music.
But yeah, Vin Diesel to play Schwarzenegger's role.
Likes most of
so he's finally getting what he wanted.
What's that?
Right? Remember when he did Fast and the Furious and then people asked him to come back? He was like, fuck you guys, I'm going to go off and do amazing films.
Yeah, it's like the Wheelman.
Right? And then eventually now he's come back to Fast and Furious. The Pacifier.
I'm always fucking...
But now he's finally hit his mark when he's going to be able to play one of, I'm assuming, his heroes.
And then,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And then have him do Conan.
And Red Sonja. Red Sonja as well, probably.
No.
No,
just,
you don't think
no,
so?
No, just then have him do True... Because he'll be busy. He'll have to do over True Lies. And we can't have him do Terminator.
No.
Christian Bale.
No, Christian Bale will have a problem with that.
Or we can't have him build the Terminator. No.
Well, if Christian Bale...
I mean, well, he can't act. So, yeah, he could be one of the Terminators.
Yeah, what you do is you have some sort of green screen going on. So Christian Bale was doing his part and Diesel his. And they put them together so they don't have to argue too much.
Yeah.
But yes, I thought that was some fantastic news there.
Alright,
no, not really.
And here's one piece of news, which is a blatant lie. I don't know why they're posting this kind of stuff,
right? No. Remember, this is April Fool's.
Right,
so
yeah.
We are going to have some stories that are just not true today and play on that whole prank thing. But
right.
Are you talking about MIB? Is that what you're talking about?
Apparently, at Show West, they're claiming, because I'm not there, so I can't tell you whether this is true or not, they're claiming that Sony executives came out and told them that they're developing a sequel to MIB.
Thank you, Sony. I can't believe it has to be a joke. I mean, seriously, did you see the second movie?
Oh, Christ.
It was disgusting. The only reason I can watch that movie again is because...
The E-Class!
Rosario Dawson is in it, yes.
The E-Class. Oh, thank you, Mercedes. You people need to understand. I'm a car buff. They showed this car was in the movie 1 year ahead of its street date.
Oh, can
it was the only place you could see this car
for a year.
That was awesome.
Damien and his
movie
car
was terrible.
I remember when we went to Get Smart, you were sitting there crying throughout the whole movie as to how horrible it was.
And then they put in that car.
What was it? I can't even remember.
It was the Ferrari California.
And Damien said this was the best movie
again,
ever.
And the movie was fucking awesome because of it. I love cars. I'm a sad person.
So,
I think that's part of the reason I like the first Bad Boys. The second Bad Boys is
fucking
terrible.
Yeah, the second Bad Boys was lame.
But our first one, thanks.
The Porsche.
Yeah. Okay, so I think, though this story has not officially said it, I think we're going to file this under April Fool's joke.
Alright, one other news item which I refuse to believe is true.
Which one
is that? They announced early in the year that they're going to be remaking The Karate Kid. I'm willing to believe that now.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Jackie Chan says yes.
They're talking about the fact that they're going to name it The Kung Fu Kid instead of The Karate Kid.
Yes.
Like, what the hell?
Because no one...
Yeah, I think...
cares about
did
karate
they actually pull the... How did they explain it? Did they say that it was too...
Antiquated.
Yeah, antiquated, and that it might offend people. Is that the story here?
Why would it offend people?
I don't know, because, you know, karate
is because they're remaking a great movie. That's why it's going to offend people.
They do it every week of the year, and I get pissed off. But
they're remaking
Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, which we have a trailer for today.
At this point, I couldn't care less.
Okay, so I guess, again,
where's that Thundercats movie? That's what I'm
Hey, that's a fantastic trailer.
Whoa.
But yeah, I think this is another joke.
Legend of Zelda.
I love that one. I remember that one last year.
IGN props. I must tell you guys. I love that last year. You guys didn't really bring it this year, but that's fine. Yeah, last year was good enough. Some awesome stuff.
Okay, do we have any more news items to talk about?
No, we don't have any more news items, but we have trailers.
One thing before we bring up trailers.
Yeah?
Could we, just for a second, like for 5 minutes, I just need to you guys to tell me, some movies that have really shitty endings. Like, so much so that it painted your entire view of the movie just because of how shitty the ending was. And no, you cannot talk about Nuke in the Fridge that is out. You cannot have that. But I need to know some other movies, because I saw Vantage Point again.
I still haven't watched that movie.
That movie, now I really hate that movie, and I hate everyone that is in that movie. So much so that I'm going to actively not watch anything that they're in for a long time. Right? Because that movie, the ending of that movie is just so, so, so shitty. I just couldn't believe it. Another one that I saw recently was Boy in Pinstripe Pajamas.
Oh, I wanted to watch that one.
Where the ending of the movie. Like, alright, they made a Disney movie, and then 101, 25 minutes in, they're like, oh shit, this needs to be Oscar bait. And the ending, that was all the ending was. And so do you guys have any movies that, you know, the ending alone?
Actually, yes. I think there was this one movie, and I know everybody loves it. I think it's extremely overrated. Just because the ending, I couldn't believe what they did. It just screwed up the whole movie, and I think that is The Godfather Part 1.
What?
Fair enough. I can't see why.
Hold on. You're going to have to go into that one.
He's coming from.
So, it's fantastic all the way through. You've got this war hero that decides, well, more than decides, he kind of gets pushed into this life of crime because of a situation beyond his control. Family ties. Then he has to go to Italy, he, you know, gets a wife.
I think we all know the story.
Right, we all know the story. But then at the end, you know, instead of actually using good filmmaking skills to tie up the loose ends, all they do is they kill everybody.
Yeah.
That's all they do. And yeah, I'm just joking. That's a fantastic movie. I honestly couldn't tell you. I remember when I watched it, I loved The Ninth Gate. It's a Johnny Depp movie, all the way through until the end. And I thought that the ending was awful. But at the same time, I couldn't even tell you what happened in most of the movie. I remember he was a book dealer. I remember he was looking for this really rare book that had some sort of powers in them. And then I remember thinking the end sucked. That's about as much as I remember about the movie. So I guess I'd put that one out there.
Andrew, you have any?
Movies where the ending sucked. Well, I guess, first of all, I can't just name off shitty movies. They have to be movies which started out good.
Yes.
And the ending just killed it. Right?
Can't be movies that other people love.
I really can't think of anything particularly to hate on right now. I didn't much like how Clockers ended, even though I liked the movie overall. You know, I kind of got over the ending. You're gonna have to give me more forewarning for this one. I can't think of anything.
Right. Have any of you guys seen Vantage Point?
No, I haven't seen it.
Alright, so, like, the movie's bad, so you shouldn't really watch it anyway. So, alright. So,
City of Ember.
Oh, yes!
looking down the list of movies I've watched this year, City of Ember is definitely one.
I have to say,
faltered so much.
The movie, or even, say, 15 minutes into the movie. You got a hint that it was going to be bad.
Yeah, you kind of, I mean,
You're watching that movie and you kind of like,
knew,
you know what?
How this was going to end.
This don't look like it's going to be really good.
Like, Vantage Point, first of all, it's the worst use of broken narrative I've ever seen in history. Because they give you all the information the first time they tell you the story and then continue to tell you the story for another 8-9 times, adding like 2 seconds. So it's the basic plot is there's a terrorist organization trying to kidnap the president of America.
Yeah.
And they kill a lot of people to get the president. And at the end of the movie, right, they've succeeded with their plan and they're getting away. The last guy from the terrorist cell, he's killed people in the cell. He's killed innocent people. He's killed tons of security guards. As in, they've killed a lot of people in this movie. And then, at the very end of the movie, right, as he's getting away, a little girl runs into the street and he swerves to avoid her and crashes the truck. And that's how they save the president.
Awesome.
And so yeah, after he's killed about 2,000 people, a little girl he doesn't know runs into the street and
why
I couldn't
would he
believe
swerve?
It. Aha. And then the movie ends. Like, yeah, this movie's not okay. You guys are going to hell for making shitty movies.
Yeah. Trailers. We have trailers for you guys to watch tonight.
But
we have got The Taking of Pelham 123.
What guys are you talking about? There's no one in the chat room and the
yes,
internet is down.
That doesn't matter. Because people are going to listen to this later on.
Yes.
Assuming Andrew gets it onto
yes,
his website.
But then they won't be able to watch it. We have trailers for them to listen to.
Alright, fine. You know what? Sorry. Okay, guys, we have trailers for you to listen to.
As this is a podcast,
or
radio.
Today, depending on what time you're listening to
first
us.
First of all, Andrew is the one that's putting out this podcast. He'll
yes.
be ready at the end of April.
Okay, but in April.
So, 4 weeks. So, guys, when you hear this, May 1st, 2nd ish. Yeah. It was. This was the April Fool's episode.
Right. So let me ask you a question. If like at the end of the night when we're done recording, I burn the wave to a CD for you and hand it to you to edit and give you an admin password to upload shit, you're going to edit it for
Two problems. No computer at home. Right? Running Linux through PS3. Just it's not as awesome an idea.
Your computer died?
It really
isn't.
It's not, it's not as awesome an idea as you think.
The PS3 doesn't run Linux properly.
No, it does.
It doesn't
do
fast?
No, that's not the problem.
Oh, okay.
It's just that...
You don't have a keyboard?
No. Every time I turn on the PS3, Metal Gear comes on. There's no more work. There's no more getting done. Plus the... Like, we have... There's one internet... Jack in the entire house because cable and wireless. We're using cable and wireless, shitty internet.
Yeah.
And it's in the living room. And I'm not pulling up surround sound and other wires. I'm not like all the shit that I need to do just to move one box into the living room. It's really not worth it. Honestly, when I get back my computer, then I'll take over.
Editing and posting because you
acting like listening to some for like 3 hours to take out the two things you don't want people to hear.
Yeah.
This is
a
long
way, I think is very unethical, right? Okay, so I guess we've
trailers.
Finally come to the end of this conversation and we have trailers to look at. The first trailer that we're going to look at is Taking Woodstock, directed by Ang Lee.
Is this Hulk 3?
And no. Here it is, folks.
It's Brokeback Hulk.
Wonderful movie.
Hi, I'm pleased to present the exclusive world premiere of a trailer for Taking Woodstock. This is a film inspired by a true story about Woodstock, directed by Ang Lee. He got an Oscar for Brokeback Mountain. He also did Crouching Tiger, where people ran across the tops of trees. This movie stars Emile Hirsch, Liev Schreiber, Eugene Levy, and Imelda Staunton, and me, Dimitri Martin. It comes out this summer, and now I am pleased to show you the exclusive trailer. Peace. Delmonico Resort is my parents' lifeblood.
Oh, it's a resort now?
With the addition of the swimming pool, we should drive heavy tourist traffic right to our door.
Dad, that's bleach, the laundry.
It kills the germs. What's the difference?
I'm sorry, you're in arrears on the mortgage.
Just give us a couple months, please. We'll get the money.
Look at this. Some hippie thing's gonna get canceled unless they find a new place for the concert.
Wow, Janis Joplin.
Grateful Dead, The Who.
Well, the locals killed it.
Bummer, man.
Can you connect me with something called Woodstock Ventures?
Hey, man. You have a permit, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
You say you want to use these fields here?
That's why we're here.
You'll have to tidy up after yourself.
Of course. We're going to need a place for people to crash. Why don't we just buy the Elmonico after the season? We like to pay cash in advance.
Your mother says we can triple our money.
Three times the rooms.
The word is getting out that maybe we'll have a few more guests than we originally thought.
The New York State Thruway has been backed up all the way from the George Washington Bridge. It's basically a parking lot. Police are planning a first ever emergency closing of the entire Thruway.
What?
You know what those hippies are going to do to our town?
Shut this thing down!
If there's rain, it might get a little electrical.
We don't want to fry too much of the audience.
What should I do?
Rally your troops.
Do I have troops?
Got your mom, don't you? She's a battalion.
You need help.
What kind of help?
My God.
starting.
Go see this thing.
See what the center of the universe looks like.
I love this hill!
It's beautiful. It's fate. Right there at the top of that hill. You gave them the brownies?
That was Ang Lee's latest film. I can't even remember the name.
Taking Woodstock.
And like Andrew, what did you think?
I thought boring and wondering to myself, what the fuck is this Ang Lee?
Didn't you watch Hulk? I don't understand.
Oh, that was like the best comedy he's ever made.
Brokeback Mountain.
I still haven't watched Brokeback Mountain.
What is wrong with you? Homophobia. And then complained about the Watchmen 2 second scene.
I haven't watched Brokeback because I'm like, oh, I don't want to see Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger get onto it. But you know, I just haven't seen it because I haven't gotten around to it. Just like 99 million movies that people tell me I need to watch.
Yeah, so Damien,
did you
see thoughts?
Crash?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You had time for that, though.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I went to it Poorest. Without knowing what it was when I was in the States at the time.
Right. So, Ang Lee has come out with another one of his movies. Dimitri Martin is in it, and it's about Woodstock. Hopefully, you know, he focuses on the lighter side and, you know, the trailer didn't speak to this. I'm just hoping. Hopefully, it's more of a comedy than, you know, his usual dramatic nonsense.
It kind of strikes me as a Woodstock version of that movie that I saw. It's Bottle Shock. Have you seen Bottle Shock?
Yeah. Oh, is that the one with...
the wine taste
yeah.
testing.
It was such a horrible movie. The trailer made it look like it playing up all the comedic elements, which is what it looked like.
But that movie was...
So as I said, I have no hope for this film at this point.
Well, but Dimitri Mann is in it.
But listen.
And he's funny.
I am looking at this trailer. And first of all, this is a movie about Woodstock. Therefore, the soundtrack has to be good. Has to be. There's no way the soundtrack is going to be bad because...
We're not going to argue.
Because
okay.
It's about
a music
a concert
music.
Where all the music was good.
I don't know.
Well, most of it at least, alright? Fine, I'll give you that. There's some that probably isn't that great. But
although
okay.
You probably have better taste in music than I do. I keep listening to shitty music.
Yeah, you do. Okay, so there's that
Celine
aspect
Dion.
Of it. Second of all, I actually like the way this thing tells a story. I like the fact that what it's making it sound like, and I honestly do not know the story behind Woodstock, so I can't say whether this is a true story, a kind of true story, or just complete bullshit.
It said based on a true
but,
story.
Yeah,
but that usually means like Woodstock existed.
Exactly. Now I'm gonna roll
the beginning.
All right. So I think that them just kind of bumping and bumbling around and kind of looking into this place for Woodstock. Just because these guys needed a loan or couldn't get the loan or whatnot, sounds like it could be a great base for a story. I also agree with you that it's clearly playing up on its comedic portions. And I do also hope that that is not a lie. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind if those were the funniest bits of the movie, but it was, you know, like a heartwarming type thing. And it looks like it could be a good movie. And I definitely, based on that trailer, would watch this movie.
Wow.
I hope it's like the boat that rocked. Uh-huh. I hope it's something along those lines.
I have hope for the boat that rocked.
No, based on the trailer.
Okay.
I'm hoping that it's going towards that end where it's playing up the funny.
Yeah.
A lot more.
And it'll show the heart later.
Because, I mean, how do you make a serious story about Woodstock? Honest. let's be serious, though. How would you get that done? But this is Ang Lee, and I am not a fan of Ang Lee.
Yeah, I've never really gotten deep into Ang Lee.
He's made shitty movies.
Don't let me let out your secret as to how much you enjoyed the Hulk when you watched that film.
I did enjoy the original Hulk when I
first... Oh, so that's...
Hulk movie when I saw it. And to this day, I still say, you know, it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Oh, no, that's where you're wrong.
Right?
That's what
Hulk
he
said. Hulk dogs...
That's what he says in public. Yes. You should hear him. Especially after he watches
the
movie.
Off the mic.
He's like, this movie's so good. Eric Bana. And then it's very reminiscent to say an Andy Samberg song. It's just, you know, jizz in my pants. That's all it is.
But you know, I could say the same things about you in private about Crash. You know, I mean...
No, but you see, the difference
you
between...
You actually hide your DVD in my collection.
Yes, but the difference between what you say and what I say is that what you say is not true.
Fair enough. And I mean...
Fair enough.
And I mean, let's not let out Damien's secret love for milk.
Oh, again, do you not understand this? At least I'm telling, you know, some sort of truth
here. This youth is high off.
Alright, moving into our next trailer before everyone kills each other.
No, I'm just going to kill you.
It's the new trailer for Denzel Washington's film, the remake, Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Control center calling Pelham 1-2-3. Control center calling Pelham 1-2-3.
Rail control center, do you read me?
Who is this?
This is the man who is going to give this city a run for its money. Now you tell me, what is the going rate for a New York City hostage today? What do you think, $1 million a piece is too high?
Maybe I'm not the guy you should be talking to. I'm a civil service employee.
What time do you got on your watch?
2:13.
59 minutes, I'm gonna start killing passengers.
You don't want innocent people dying, do you?
You tell me.
Life is simple now. You just have to do what I say.
Will somebody just do something?
Are you sure you don't have some sort of relationship with him?
Can everybody hear me?
Every cop in the city is on the way.
Let him unload on me. Okay, you got 5 seconds.
Okay.
Five.
What's he doing?
Four.
You gotta believe me.
Look up.
Make you feel better, Garber? That make everything okay now?
No, but it's a start.
Okay, so I have to say, first and foremost, I did not like the first trailer. Actually, from the first trailer, I decided, you know what, this movie is not for me. However, this trailer really piqued my interests. First things first, I don't know if I'm just stupid, but it introduced me to two people that I didn't realize were in this movie. Those being John Turturro and James Gandolfini. I didn't realize they were in this movie.
They were in the first trailer.
They weren't in the first trailer. Okay, so I'm not stupid.
Gandolfini was in the first
one. He was? Okay, yeah. I'm half stupid. Alright, so I didn't realize those two guys were in the movie. However, that really doesn't matter. Those guys can be in crap movies. They have been already. They will be again. But also, just the way that the trailer was cut, the way that the trailer portrayed these things that is going to happen, it looked much more exciting and much more interesting than before. So, boy,
That's why they outsource trailers.
I know. I know this could be another one of those Medellin type situations where the trailer looks fantastic.
Oh my word.
And the movie is just ridiculous.
Entourage reference.
Yes,
really?
An Entourage reference.
Smoke drum.
Can I tell you exactly why this trailer is better than the first one?
The rap music and the hard rock at the end.
Yes, okay. And they took out the gallon of milk. In the first trailer, they had this one cut where he was apparently like going off to meet John Travolta or something. You know, he was like on the phone with, I don't know, his sister, his girlfriend, his wife. And, you know, the woman was like, yo, you can't be doing this. He's like, I have to go and do something. I have to go. And she's like, okay, but whatever you do, bring back a gallon of milk. He's like, I can do a half gallon.
Yes.
I can do it, but not a whole gallon. Like, oh, that one line just made me hurt. But I actually sat down because of this trailer, the first trailer, decided to go and watch the original with Walter Matthau. And personally, I don't know if this movie will be any good. I don't think it will because of the trailers. But we always ask ourselves, is there a movie that deserves a remake? I wouldn't say that this movie deserves one, but kind of like Ocean's 11, I can see them doing a good one.
Right. Can I tell you one more thing about this trailer?
Okay.
I'm still not convinced about John Travolta.
No shit.
He still looks a little bit out of his element.
Out
of his
element,
yes. Yes.
Like when he's shouting in the phone, you just go, what the hell is he?
Yeah, and I have seen a scene with him, you know, brandishing a very large bazooka, and that scene.
That's not in this movie. That's a different movie.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's some French film.
Oh, that's a French District B-13 thing or whatever it is. Oh, sorry. Whoops. Out of my head. But at the same time,
they already filled the one black.
But he's not angry. No one does angry black men like Sam.
No one does
bad movie like Sam.
He has typecast himself into that one. He plays that character no matter what movie.
Yeah, but at least he could have tried to typecast himself as
into
the
good
movie guy.
No. Snakes on a plane, bitch.
Whoa. I mean, I think we've voiced most of our opinions on what we expect from this film when we did the first trailer a few weeks ago.
Denzel doesn't really come in shitty movies. Not anymore.
What?
In the beginning, he came in some really shitty movies.
Okay, let's just go back a little bit. Let's talk about Deja Vu.
I wouldn't say it's bad. It wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't bad. Yes, the logic at the end was complete nonsense, but it wasn't that bad.
No, I know you'll probably tell me I'm wrong, but American Gangster, that movie was crap.
I wouldn't say it was crap, but it was definitely not as good as
it was trying too hard to be the black version of Scarface.
Yeah, that's all it really was. But there's Deja Vu, which was crap.
I still haven't seen The Great Debaters, but I have
no
hope for it.
Have you watched The Manchurian Candidate?
Yeah.
That was God.
Out of time, but shit.
I knew The Manchurian Candidate was going to be nonsense. Not because of the other people that was in the movie. Because
uh-huh.
I had read the book. And the book is nonsense.
Okay.
So you can't really adapt.
Okay,
madness.
Fine. What about Outer Time?
What was Outer Time?
Outer Time was the one with Sanaa Lathan, him, and the other girl that everybody seems to like. What the hell is her name? Rosario.
Ava Mendez,
yeah.
Wait, let me see. Oh, yes,
I see the page.
Yeah. No, but I never say I'm always coming great. All right,
let's go back.
So
even,
that's one.
Let's go
that's
back even
so
again.
Far.
What do you mean one? What about John Q?
No, I actually like
no,
John
I like
Q.
John Q.
I like
not good.
Moving right along. Training Day was good.
Bone Collector.
I like Bone Collector.
What?
Again, oh, I like Bone Collector. Moving right along.
Let's move
no,
down.
No, can't really go back that far. But
right.
So, I have to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, the rest
right?
of it you so, can't really hurt
right.
him on.
No, there's really.
Remember the Titans, Training Day, Antoine Fischer,
hey,
Man
hey,
on
hey,
Fire,
hey.
Moving
I would not call right? Remember the Titans a really, really good movie.
I would call it a really good movie.
No, not a really good movie.
Yes,
it
it's a remake.
Good. No, it was good.
Nobody cares. It was a
but not
great. Of that
it was not yeah. great.
Movie. I think that's
my... Honestly, let me
so,
tell you what
so
great movies...
You're saying.
Hold on. Let Douglas go.
Let's see what great movies he's been in. You could argue...
Thanks
for putting the in front of the list. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I can do that while the thing's in front of the list? Oh, my goodness. So you could argue Inside Man was great. I don't think it was great. I think it was
Right, moving on.
You could argue Man on Fire. I really like
Anton Chekhov.
No, that's not even arguable.
That movie was great.
Training Day, you could argue that.
Yeah.
The Hurricane, you could argue that.
Mm-hmm. Preacher's Wife.
Fuck you.
No!
Have you watched that movie?
I actually haven't seen it.
So. Malcolm X.
Malcolm X, you could argue
amazing.
That. Right, Pelican Brief. More than argue. Great.
Philadelphia is an amazing
okay,
movie.
Okay, Philadelphia, but you can't say Pelican Brief is
why do
great.
You hate Preacher's Wife? That's my
because question. It's a shitty Disney movie.
That's it. That's
No. And not just that it's a Disney movie. It's a shitty movie.
I enjoyed that movie.
First of all, Whitney Houston is in it.
Yes, but she was not always a crackhead.
Yeah.
And she did have
guess
talent.
Guess what? She was always a bad actress. Hey. She was always a bad actress. Name one movie she was in
listen
that she
me.
Acted
listen
well
to
in.
Me.
Bodyguard?
No.
Oh, right.
Did you think, at what point, Kevin Costner and, no.
Well, first of all, the movie, it just was a lame family movie that wasn't that good anyway. So
man, why are you
I
looking at
it's great?
Whitney Houston?
I just double checking.
Why?
Just looking if like she got a cameo in something that was decent.
I think she started smoking.
I love Fallen. I love Fallen.
Yeah, I like Fallen, but I wouldn't call it a great
Not
movie.
Not so much. Kiga Game.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
What was The Siege?
The Book of Eli.
The Siege was the movie
Come
with
on.
Gandolfini where
they
impounded all the Muslims in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I
really like that. I remember liking it.
So
back to my point. He usually comes in.
No. I think we have to pull out an Eddie Murphy card. You know, back when Eddie Murphy was amazing and you'd go and see anything he did. Same with Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
Previous to the 2000 mark,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd go and you'd watch anything.
Right.
But no, it's a very horrible bet to go and watch
yeah,
a Denzel movie.
No, but Out of Time is the only one since
2000. No,
that's what you think.
No, that's what you think,
right.
Exactly. No, let's go here. We've got the great debaters, which
I
have not watched. I have heard is just a regular old movie that's heartwarming. Whoop-de-doo. But
heartwarming.
Yeah, but I'll give you that. We've got American Gangster, which was average at fucking best. We've got Deja Vu,
which is
horrible.
No, I don't know about horrible.
We've got Inside Man, good. We've got Manchurian Candidate, even worse than horrible. I would not buy this so that I could wipe my ass with it. It's ridiculous, right?
Man on Fire,
it was awesome. I love it.
Out of Time,
ridiculously bad.
Moving right
Antoine
now.
Fisher, run-of-the-mill crap. John Q, again, run-of-the-mill crap. Training Day, awesome. Remember the Titans, I liked it, but again, it's a bit... It's, you know, I'd call it average. A little bit more than average, but I do like it for what it is.
Again, he's in the movie, so I'll go watch it.
Okay.
Fine.
All right, we've made that pretty much clear at this point. All right, so that's all we have for trailers this week. There's not much coming out, but...
What the hell are we reviewing?
Time Crimes. And, yeah... Here's a trailer for those of you who don't know what it's about.
I'm going to, you know.
Has viajado en el tiempo.
That was Time Crimes. It recently came out on DVD yesterday. And, like, what'd you guys think of it?
Did it come out recently or did it come out yesterday?
Which one? It came out yesterday.
Both. So, recently it came out yesterday.
Isn't yesterday recent?
Recently it came out yesterday, Andrew. As opposed to before that.
The man
Andrew. So, Andrew,
listen,
before recently, did it come out you know, 2 weeks ago, before recently.
Listen, the man is not an English major.
Otherwise, all I can say is that I try.
He's going to edit that out anyway, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, Andrew, come, say it again, you know you want to. Come on, say it again, so that then you don't have to sound...
Yeah. So you don't have to record it when no one else is here. Yeah. We know you do.
He tried to do that with me once, you know, with the Phantom episode.
So, Time Crimes, it came out on DVD yesterday, and what did you guys think?
I think Douglas should go first.
Why should I go first?
Because his mark will be the highest. This much is clear.
Ouch, okay. Well, I thought it was a pretty decent...
No, you don't think it's a pretty decent. You just said the movie's awesome.
The movie is awesome, but it's a pretty... No, okay, I think it's awesome. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yes.
But on a more... I can never get these two words right. Subjective or objective? Probably objective.
Objective.
On a more objective level, it was a very decent...
Cheap.
Shut the fuck up. It was a decent...
Science.
Wait, go back
sci-fi.
Up.
Stop reading.
Okay. You do what you're doing.
After the review.
Okay? Let's get the review out of the way, and then we can mention this at the end if you want.
Oh, okay, I'm going to hold that one deep down inside.
I'll even bring it open in a tab so we remember. Okay?
So we were talking about Time Crimes.
Yes.
Which I believe to be an extremely decent suspense thriller type movie. A little bit of action in there, sci-fi. So it's a movie about clearly time travel, in which crimes occur.
Asshole.
Yes. And I thought, you know, the acting was good. The story was really good. I thought it might have been a little bit too tight, but I could forgive that for the enjoyment that this thing gave me. I watched it and it was funny. I watched it, there was... I guess you could divide this movie into three sections. And when it was coming up to near the end of the first section, I said to myself, I've only been watching this thing for maybe a half an hour. How can this movie go any further? And it did. And it still made sense. As I said, the story was a little bit too tight. Almost a bit reminiscent of, say, one of Andrew's favorite guys, and one of my favorite guys too for the things that he's done, Guy Ritchie. It's kind of tight along those lines. But everything worked. I don't know what to say other than I enjoyed the movie. The acting was good. The story was good. The plot was good. I don't see anything wrong with the movie. There was never... Everything to me was A minus A. You know, if I were to give a grade to each of those four parts, it would be A minus or an A.
Yeah. Andrew?
Andrew, what do you think about this movie?
I have to say that I love it. I mean, I've been a fan of a lot of these.
He's apologizing.
I've been a fan of a lot of these sci-fi time travel sorts of films. I mean, one of my favorite to date is Donnie Darko. You know, deals with a lot of the time travel mythology and everything, and this film tackles that subject directly. And you can even sit down and try and watch it 2-3 times to figure out, like, if one thing didn't happen, how would that have occurred? How would that have changed the events? Did this thing happen because of something that happened in the past, or was it the future? What is the definition of the past and the future? And when is something going to happen, and how can you change that? Do you think that something is something you can change by going in the past, or is it something that'll happen anyways, no matter what you do? And these are things that the movie tries to bring to you. I mean, especially when I think the first time
he sounds way more intelligent than me. Fuck.
And this isn't even edited yet. the first time he goes in the past, it's supposedly an accident. And then he has to go in the past again, right? But we don't know whether it's an accident or whether it's fate. Or whether it's something that he's decided on a whim. We can never tell. It requires so much analysis that there's no way you can figure out if it's a chicken or an egg.
Exactly. Especially, you know what I like about it? The first time he goes back into the past. I almost said Back into the Future. The first time he goes back into the past, there is some involvement with the future. So as you're saying, you know, was it an accident? Because sometimes, you know, I actually think about these things. And I know this is kind of weird. But I actually think about it. And, you know, like, for example, this same thing. In order for him to be, you know, to have such an easy road to get to the past, his future self would have had to done something. But he would have had to go back into the past in order to be his future self to do that thing in the first place. So, you know, is... My head goes around in circles all the time.
And your logic is going around in circles.
All right, so Damien, what did you think?
All right. I love this movie. I saw this movie in Christmas. Don't ask how.
You love this movie?
I love this movie. I only have two real problems with the movie.
Okay.
One is that it's cheap.
There's so you must be really happy about the remake going on next year.
No. There's a something about whenever you start adding sci-fi elements to shit and it looks like something that I could have made in my basement. Yeah, it kind of gets kind of sketchy. There's no way you manipulate time with like a Dell computer. It's impossible.
I have to say, I enjoyed the minimal effect.
Also, none of the big effects were needed because you don't. It's not like, you know, he went through a time warp where some reality had to bend. He just inside something.
You guys are not understanding what I'm saying. This is a personal issue that I'm not saying it's an issue.
You must have CG in all movies. No, I understand.
I'm not saying that is an issue with the.
I heard you talk about the Watchmen. I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Oh my word! That movie's still awesome.
I love the movie. I have to say, but
no, it's just that whenever sci-fi is introduced and it looks low tech, my brain just automatically. Like, it just triggers fake in my brain. It's something with me. It's fine. My second problem is the genre that it's in, the whole time manipulation thing. Because no one, and it's because it's impossible, as Douglas tried, as Douglas was an example of a while ago. When you try to explain time travel and what needs to happen for time travel to happen, you go in a circle. And logic starts to slip slowly away.
As I said, it's a chicken and egg thing. Yeah.
But the movie was done so well that the suspense that they had in the movie, it was so well done that I kind of like put that in the back of my mind. Yes, it was dealing with, you know, time and space and whatever. But he was... I really don't want to try to spoil the, you know, what his aim in the movie was. But he was trying to accomplish something... Right, with this back and forth, and you know, they kept it interesting enough. I was surprised that none of you guys saw the movie until now.
I've been meaning to watch it for a long time, but, and then all of a sudden, because I saw it came out on DVD, that kind of triggered it in my head. I said, must watch.
I remember I saw it and went, This movie's awesome. Because I saw the trailer, and the trailer was shit. I didn't like the trailer.
The trailer did not cost $1 million.
Exactly.
To make.
Michael Bay didn't direct it. It was a farmed out shit, wasn't blown.
I have to say, when I saw the trailer a long time ago, I fell in love with it.
Not at all. Right. Especially the whole him wrapping up his head, and I'm like, this movie
reminded me of Darkman for a while.
This movie looked like it was made for $20. Right? But again, despite my personal issues with movies of this type, I still enjoy the movie. So you know the movie after me. I mean, I just couldn't be... I know, like when I saw Douglas, you know, jumping up and down. You should see. I should have taken a picture. I mean, he was running up and down. I think he's tattooed time crime somewhere on his body.
No. It wasn't that bad. It's just TC.
But
with a face of a mummy type person.
But the reason I was giving him shit is because that's how I was behaving like two, three months ago after I saw the movie. It was the exact same way. I mean, this movie's good. I like this movie.
It's amazing. Okay, I'm going to take the, you know, objectivity off. No. It's awesome. I love this movie. If you have not seen it, you have to watch it.
It's time.
It's also on DVD, guys. Go
exactly. Get it.
instead of going out and getting bad copies of Slumdog Millionaire,
yeah,
go get Time Crimes.
And by the way, don't rent this. Buy this movie. All right. Yeah, I know
this,
I will.
Yeah, this you need some money so that the next one look awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so you complain about movies looking cheap, but you never had that complaint when we reviewed Around.
Yeah, but that's because it didn't have shit to do with sci-fi.
It was, he was shooting, you know, places, real places. No, it's sci-fi. No, it's not.
I get you.
I was just wondering.
Like when them look like, when they look like them tape, like some MacGyver type shit. You know, two clothespin and a Pepsi bottle. And it's supposed to be a laser gun or something like that. Like, look here.
Hey, did you see that news story on Slash Gamer a couple weeks ago? I think it might have been as much as a week ago, where they found a screenshot of Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles of one of these guys. Looks like a Navy or Special Ops dude, and he has like one of these air pieces on, and they take a closer look at it and they realize that it looks exactly like an Xbox Live Bluetooth headphone set, and they just painted it black. So talking about sci-fi looking cheap.
Exactly. Stargate, I got into Stargate for a while because, you know, it looked like the production values were well done,
and then it
dribbled into nonsense. And MacGyver was awesome because, I mean,
I love MacGyver.
I mean,
yeah, Richard Dean Anderson, awesomeness.
I mean, when you see a toothpick and a Pepsi bottle, you see a toothpick and a, you don't see a tractor. You don't see a tractor. MacGyver sees a tractor.
I want that t-shirt. Yeah. I've shown you the t-shirt.
Yeah, you've shown it to me. I've seen it before too.
No, I shouldn't be flipping through.
Yes, you'll
but really. can I make one comment?
Sure.
Speaking on cheapness and such.
Are we still talking about Time Crimes?
No.
Alright, hold on. Before you make that comment, can we just make the official statement on Time Crimes?
Oh, okay.
Everyone needs to go and get it. Yeah, should they buy it without watching it?
This move. No. Some people.
Do you think you'd recommend this to everyone?
Yeah, I'd recommend this to everyone.
Except Tanai.
No, please. Let's not talk about Tanai on here. Yeah, this movie is a solid. It's a solid A. Yeah, I'll give it an A.
Yeah, it's definitely worthy of an A. I mean, I think maybe if I looked a little closer, I could find a couple.
I wish I'd seen this before the top 10 last year.
Yeah.
Throat silly shit.
Like
don't hilarious. I saw that joke.
Anyways, alright. You wanted to make a comment, Douglas?
Okay, I wanted to just make a comment based on cheapness. But no, you see, the time has gone, and so it's not going to, you know, have the same resonance that
could
you would have had a while ago.
Speak and stuff.
But I was going to say that I'm very upset now that our neighbors have decided to lock their Wi-Fi.
Oh, you bastard.
I saw a lock beside the Wi-Fi, and that upset me. However, I am now very happy because now we have finished with the review, and we can talk about what I just saw on your computer and what I am very, very happy about. Cillian Murphy is going to be in a movie again.
Wow.
No, it's not any movie.
Not just any movie. A Christopher Nolan movie.
But not just Cillian Murphy. My favorite person, though, Ellen Page is going to be in it as well.
Honestly, I don't really care.
Well,
that
not
much
really
about
my favorite.
Page.
It's just someone.
Ellen
it's just
Page.
Someone who I look out for, and any movie she's in, no, I'll watch.
But listen. Ellen Page. First of all, Hard
Maybe
Candy
Juno.
Was shit.
Maybe.
I
can I have the
like
DVD?
Candy.
Can I have that DVD then?
I love it.
I have to watch it again. I've made that mistake already. Let me watch it again. However, I didn't like Hard Candy the first time I saw it. I thought it was like lame.
I loved it.
But
I love that movie.
Juno was awesome. And then the only other movie I've seen her in that was kind of good was Smart People, and that wasn't that good anyway.
I like Smart People,
obnoxious
but a movie
assholes.
A movie that
but
I can tell
like
you,
it.
I can
I
tell
like
you, she's in that isn't that good is
X-Men?
An American Crime. Which is really horrible.
X-Men?
It's boring. Yes, she's
yeah, that's not X-Men.
She's the girl who goes through walls.
That's not X-Men. There's two.
No, there's one.
No.
How
about Wolverine?
Actually, there's a half of one.
No, there's two.
The second one was okay. The first one was kind of crappy. The last one was way crappy.
No, the first one had to set up the second one. So it's just one. It's like extended.
No, you know me, right? This is not like Brian Singer hate or anything. I like Brian Singer. But I didn't really think those movies
Moving
were
on. Hey, yeah, moving on. Right?
Cillian Murphy's going to be in it.
She was also in Tracy Fragments, which was a good movie that you guys need to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I need to watch that. I still haven't watched it. But yeah, again, Ellen Murphy. Ellen Page, other than Juno, she's been very unnotable.
What's that dude's name?
Cillian Murphy? That dude there?
Yeah, that dude.
That's Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
So who's that chick beside him?
That's Marion Cotillard.
What the hell?
Oh, she's in Inception too?
It says Warner Brothers is in talks with Marion Cotillard, Cillian Murphy, and Ellen Page are in talks to join the cast of Christopher Nolan's sci-fi action film.
Marion Cotillard, I'll say she's an awesome actress because of Le'Veon Rose, but she's also hot. Right?
Let me tell you what's happening here. Christopher Nolan is making a new movie, right?
That's it.
Okay.
That's exactly how we were when the news was just announced. And that's how we are today. It's just...
like these people.
Douglas jumping up and down for his friend Cillian. Anyways, can we really cut it off there? Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, I guess we can end today's April Fool's Day show on that note that we...
Yeah, Andrew won't have this out.
Alright, so this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'm Andrew.
Marcos is dying.
Yes!
New one is on the way. Oh, damn it. The second.
My phone is still going strong.
Yeah, but you haven't used your phone anywhere close to as much as you used Marcos.
Alright, this is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
You can find all episodes on gmanreviews.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, the Podcast Alley, or via our RSS feed. Please vote or subscribe or, you know, just give us a review. We broadcast generally every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our Ustream channel. You can contact us through email at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can send us any feedback or questions there. And yeah, that's generally it. Peace out.